Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Ramona Shelburne will stop by because we got a lot of NBA news coming up at 1040. Ben Lyons at 1140 for his weekly movie review, all presented by our friends at Straight Talk Wireless. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, 2G for $45, saving you half the cost of big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. So here's the deal, man. There's a lot of crap going on in the NBA right now. There's talk about timelines. There's talk about still players rumbling and grumbling about the current situation. And I'm going to make this very simple for you. Much like I did yesterday, and I'm going to make it even more succinct. There are about 30 to 40, maybe 50 players tops out of the 450 that are bent out of shape. And here's what happened. Players initially, super excited to play. Yay, basketball! But then, when the details came out, they were like, huh, yeah, this doesn't seem like a vacation at Sandals, like, or in Cabo, like I thought it was going to be. And to me, it's just kind of nuts that they were surprised. Really? Like, what did you think? Did you actually think it was a vacation in Cabo? Look, the NBA can ease some of these restrictions. Things can make more sense later. But you got to go in as stringent as possible. This is no different than when you're a parent. It's easier to be disciplined with your kids and then ease up than it is to try to be like the fun parent, be their friend. I'm not saying you can't be their friend, but you probably need to be a hard-ass parent a little bit first, and then you can open those doors a little more and more and more, right? It's no different than in professional sports. Players coach versus a dictator style coach. It's easier to be the guy to come in and set a standard and then loosen things up as you know you can. Because every individual player, you know, can deal with certain things differently. And responsibility differently. So, look, the reality is this. Brian Windhorst was on SportsCenter last night. And I think that the one thing the NBA has going for it, and everyone's freaking out today, is that the MLS and NHL are going to start first. At least a couple weeks before the NBA does. So they're going to have a little bit of a test run. Here's what Brian said about that.
The MLS is going in a few weeks ahead of them. Granted, it's going to be a little bit different.
Okay.
And they're going to have some of the same challenges and some of the same learning. And they're basically report back to the NBA. Plus, the NHL is going to go first, too. And by the way, it's not just going to be what's like in the bubble. We're going to learn from the broadcasts. The first NHL games and the first MLS games look are going to be very different. And I agree. There could be six different layers of rules. And we get to August 15th. We're like, you know what? We can get rid of those three. And that's what I think they're hoping to do. But I think they'd rather be as restrictive as they can at the start and then peel it back rather than add later.
The other thing that's out there, and this is why I want to have Ramona on, and it's Tom Haberstroh of NBC Sports, who's a friend of ours, has a report that basically that as of right now, okay, that the Disney support staff at Walt Disney World will not be subject to the NBA's bubble protocols and daily testing and quarantine. They're free to go in and out of the campus per a Disney union official. Now, again, it's June 12th. There's about a month, almost a month before the players get there. Anyone who thinks that this thing was going to be negotiated all in one fell swoop, they had to figure out that if the players were going to get on board with this first. Or actually, let's back up here. They were going to have to get the owners on board first, then the players on board, and then deal with the details of the Disney employees. Like, I don't understand what people think here. And look, I'm not trying to discredit Tom's article because it's great. And he spoke to two different epidemiologists. That's a hard word to say. To address all the different concerns. And even the epidemiologists feel like Yeah, that's not ideal. But if they do temperature checks, that could be sufficient. So it is a little misleading. The headlines on that stuff is misleading. And what we sure as hell have learned over the last year or two is everyone loves a headline, but no one actually reads the bleeping story. So Keith Smith, who works for Yahoo, is reporting, as a guy who used to work for Disney at the parks, that there's probably a ton of Disney employees who have been furloughed, including, look, it's happened with our colleagues here, right? It's happened across the country, that they'd be willing to volunteer to quarantine and be subjected to the bubble environment. But again, all those things need to be negotiated with the union. But there's a protocol to this. You got to negotiate with the owners, then you negotiate with the players, and then you finalize the details with Walt Disney World. That doesn't seem unreasonable to me. But everyone now all is up in arms. You know, you got players tweeting about it, J.J. Redick, so it's not a bubble. Well, dude, it might be. The key words there are, as of now. Because it's a fluid situation. And we're creating this 7-bell alarm for nothing yet. If we get to July 1st and it's still a problem, hell, even July 4th, when they're supposed to report by July 7th, then okay. But on June 12th, I don't think I'm worried about that just yet. Because I think there's plenty of time to figure that out. Bergman, I know it sounds like I'm cannibalizing my own brethren in the media, but I feel like sometimes we create these alarms when we just assume that these things aren't negotiated yet, or at least the way things get printed, it makes it seem like these things aren't negotiated against. And again, Haberstroh even wrote, quote, as of now, will not be subject to NBA bubble protocols for the Disney employees. But it's just like, this is the type of stuff that drives me insane, because it's not the whole story, but it sure gets people to click on the story.
Yeah, that's the type of world that we live in now, George. You have people only read headlines. They don't read stories. It doesn't matter. And that's just, and people want to be upset. They want to freak out about something. They want to see something and be like, whoa, 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 something's wrong, without knowing all the full details. And that's kind of what's happening right now. And NBA players are no different than everybody else that does the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's just mind-boggling to me. It's like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing here? Like, tell me if, am I crazy when I say to you that the first line of business clearly had to be to negotiate with the owners? Yes, if you're the
yes.
NBA, right?
Yes, absolutely.
The second line of business needed to clearly to be negotiate with the players then, yes?
Right, because if they're not in, then it doesn't work.
Correct. So then the third line of business should absolutely be, all right, let's figure out the fine details that are very important still, but let's figure out the details with the venue.
Look, you need to be on a better, you need to have everything understood ahead of time and go very stringent at first. It's like with your kids. You tell them, these are the rules of what we need to do when we go to the park or whatever it happens to be. Once you actually get there, you know what, maybe those rules lessen just a little bit because of you see what's happening around you. But they need to have those rules in place at first.
Laura, you brought up a great point on the text stream about this. Go ahead, tell people what you said.
I just said that I don't really think Disney will subject themselves to something like that, like lawsuits or anything like that. And on top of it, why would you tell people that were furloughed, hey, we are going to have jobs for you, this is what's going to happen, and then the players are like, no. Or the owners are like, no, I don't want to do that. So now you got people riled up that they're going to go back to work to nothing. So
yeah, no, the parks are going to open regardless. So I think now they will. I don't know to what extent they're going to open. Nor look, I'm not going to speak out of turn here because I don't know the intricacies of the park business. Okay, but ultimately, to your point, Laura, which is yes, these details will get worked out to a place where it is. Where Disney, their attorneys, will be sufficiently satisfied with the safety protocols because they're not going to subject themselves to whether it's lawsuits from their own employees or lawsuits from NBA players for that matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not going to happen. There is a way to do business in this sense. Like, there is a priority list. And it's not to diminish the venue or Disney. But you don't have games if you don't figure out the owners and players first. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be an order to this.
Right. I mean, that's just the way that it has to be. Every single time, you have to have the main people on board first. And the players and the owners are the ones that are going to be actually there and having to agree to what the rules are first before going in. Then you got to talk to the parks.
Yeah. Like, again, I just don't think that this is, like, people are sounding the alarm. And look, I know that Twitter's not real life. Okay. I get it. Like, but it is a microcosm of the way people react. I don't think it's overwhelmingly the way people think, but it is absolutely a snapshot of the way people think. Is that fair to say it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's 240 characters that you're allowed. So that's the same thing as just reading a headline. You're reading just a small character and then figuring out and choosing from that one part. Like, you know, even if it's a text thread, even if it's a tweet thread, sometimes you only read that first tweet and don't read the rest of the thread.
Right. Right. That's a good point. I do think that there are people like that. So anyway, here's what the insiders are all reporting about the expected restarts. July 30th through August 14th, they'll be playing the regular season, okay? August 15th and the 16th, the play-in tournaments if necessary. August 17th, the playoffs will begin. August 30th, family and guests of teams arrive. August 31st through September 13th, the conference semifinals, which is the second round. September 15th through the 28th, the conference finals. September 30th through potentially October 13th, the NBA finals. So there's that. So that's what's supposed to be happening. Other big news. The NFL, remember Bergman, how I said to you that the NFL is in a unique position because they are the most powerful entity in sports, right? Like they're the most powerful entity. They're the league that people watch the most. They're the league that makes the most money. They're the league that commands the most viewership. So I said, when you have that kind of power and you have that kind of leverage, you should flex your muscles every once in a while. And you should do it for good. You should do it for causes that the majority of your constituency agree upon. And the NFL has agreed to donate $250 million over 10 years to racial injustice causes. And that's a great start. And so I asked Roger Goodell the other day when he made his comments, it's cool that you made these comments, and I'm glad that you made them, but where are the actions? Okay, this is step one of the actions. Step two, the other thing they did, Bergman, was they are officially going to celebrate Juneteenth. Juneteenth, for those that don't know, is in essence the commemoration to the effective end of slavery in the United States through the Emancipation Proclamation, made effective, obviously, by President Lincoln. So that is pretty big, too. So that'll basically be a holiday for the NFL. Their offices will be closed. They will observe it as a holiday. And remember, it wasn't until 2.5 years later, obviously the Emancipation Proclamation, I'm not going to give everyone a history lesson, but it was 1863. And 2.5 years later, June 19th, 1865, is when the Union soldiers landed in Galveston, Texas, and declared the war to be over and that all those enslaved would become free. So that's why June 19th, known as Juneteenth, is an important day. So look, the NFL is doing things, whether it's donating the $250 million over 10 years, so that's $25 million a year to the racial injustice causes and campaigns, and celebrating Juneteenth as an official NFL holiday. Those are pretty good first steps, would you say, Bergman?
Absolutely. This is the first time that I've seen Roger Goodell really do something that was significant outside of that was towards the players themselves.
Right. Proactive. Yes.
Yes.
Actual proactive. Action that's proactive. Yes.
And it's great to see it. And it's just nice to see that he's actually doing things that are going to be proactive and doing things that are like giving away money and celebrating Juneteenth. These are all things. And the biggest entity that you're talking about in the NFL, the biggest sport in the world, it's going to now hopefully go over into other sports. It's all starting to happen. NASCAR's pulling down Confederate flags. These are all positive things, and it's all changing. It's fantastic.
Yeah. No, again, better late than never, right? You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, that's the way I look at it. And I urged the NFL on this show the other day to create some action, that their words are nice, but we need some action. And now we're starting to see some of that being implemented, which is good. Speaking of implementation, We finally may have an MLB proposal that may be getting us closer to baseball. We'll tell you what that's all about in 3 minutes. Stick around. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here. It is National Loving Day. Go love someone. And it also happens to be National Red Rose Day and National Peanut Butter Cookie Day. So just combine all three. Love someone with some red roses and peanut butter cookies, right? Like, that's the way to do it. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. Check out Shower Sessions, All From The Shower, singing, Grammy Award winners, new music videos, exclusive interviews at youtube.com/progressive. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Bergman, before I get to the details of this new Major League Baseball proposal, because I know people are waiting on bated breath for it. I was watching Coming to America yesterday.
Great movie.
It was, but here's the thing. I was watching it, and I was flipping around, and sometimes I'm just lazy, right? Like, I don't feel like putting on Netflix or whatever, because I'm going to fall asleep to it, and I just want to watch something to go to bed. And I started watching Coming to America, but it was on the Paramount Network, right? So it's like an over-the-air cable thing with no curse words or whatever. And I tweeted out, and I know Laura responded to this, am I going to regret watching Coming to America without the curse words? And while it clearly wasn't as good without the curse words, I don't think I lived to regret it. There were still some really funny parts. And obviously, I know what they're going to say, so that probably helps. But because I've seen the movie 7 million times. But it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be honest with you.
I don't know. Like when he steps out onto the balcony and he's like, oh, I love New York. And he says, blank you. And he goes, yes, yes, blank you too.
No, it's not what he says. He doesn't say, I love you, New York. He says, good morning, my neighbors.
Right. Yeah. Whatever the actual words are. But yeah, like I need the actual words. I don't know. It's like in Major League, where when you watch Major League on one of those channels, and then when Corbin Burnson walks up to the pitcher mound, he's like,
strike this blanker out. Out, yeah.
And it stops. You're like, no, that's not right.
Yeah.
So I can't. I don't know. I'm not in on it. Laura?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Not at all. I told him, I was like, why would you do that to yourself?
Right. I was just trying to fall asleep to something mindless. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really was that. Now, what is the worst movie to watch without curse words?
Ooh. Ooh.
I mean, we could open it up to the phones at 877-710-ESPN. I mean, Coming to America, I thought was going to be one of them. It wasn't. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
There's probably not that many curse words in it. I feel like anything.
Oh, no, there's plenty.
No, there's a lot.
There really is. Ooh, I got to think about that.
All right, you could come back. We could think about it again. We'll get to that. Bergman, why are you so mad at Alex Cora again all of a sudden?
It's not that I'm – well, yeah, I mean, I guess it is Alex Cora, but – just reading his comments, and I know he's trying to apologize.
Right, and for those that don't know, Marley Rivera at ESPN did an exclusive interview with Alex Cora where he basically just said that this notion that the entire Astros scandal was a two-man operation is nonsense, that everybody was involved. And he waited to talk about it just because, you know what, like there was no point in talking about it at the time because it was going to be received improperly. But now that time has passed a little bit, and he's again, not saying that it wasn't his fault. He's taking all the blame for it, which, you know, I commend the guy for doing. But he's saying, like, if you guys think it was just me and one other guy, like, you guys are out of your mind. Like, everybody was in on this.
Just reading it, it made all of my blood boil. Like, I could feel the anger rising up inside me as I read his comments, because it just goes even further talking about all the players. Nope, we didn't do anything wrong. Nope, everything's okay. Oh, did you look at the report? Nothing ever happened to any of us. It was all legit. No, it was not legit, and now you're having Alex Cora even saying it's not legit, and it just makes me so angry again.
Oh, so you're not mad at Cora. You're just mad because it reminds you of the way the Astros reacted, is what you're saying.
Yes. It's not Cora himself. It's just the comments coming back. Because I kind of forgot about it. I mean, I knew it was there, but I kind of let it go.
So now, clearly you didn't let it go, is what you're saying.
No, I don't think. I don't know. I can't. Can you let it go?
Well, because you were directly affected. Your team was directly affected. Yes. So I do understand that. I am curious to see if the audience is over it too. Like, if you're a Dodger fan, like, are you over it? Or are you, have you moved on? Like, are you just one of these guys that are just like, you're going to hold on to this forever? I am curious. Or ladies, you know, I am curious. 877-710-ESPN. Laura, are you over it? Or are you still mad?
I'm mad. I'm still holding on. Like, no. And I can't boo you. And I can't trash talk you. Ugh. No, I'm still mad.
Okay. I mean, my guess is that most people feel like you guys. And I get it. Like, I'm not disputing it. Like, I'd be pissed too. Like, I just don't know if this, I guess, you know what, in retrospect, if you're trying to escape something, whatever it is, right, it doesn't have to be the Dodgers getting their World Series ripped away by the cheating Astros, but anything, like whatever it is, let's say you are arguing with your significant other, right, and all of a sudden, something, you're watching something on TV, and what you're watching is two people fighting, right? Like a couple fighting. Then all of a sudden you're going to be thinking about your fight again. You know what I'm saying? Or something pops up on the radio that makes you think about the reason you're arguing. So I get it. Like, I get, like, little things can trigger you that way. I get it.
Right. Yeah. It's like that. There's a Marriage Story or whatever it's called on Netflix where there's just the two people are fighting. Like, yeah. It just makes me think like, oh, that was what my divorce was like. And so like, I'm not watching that show because I know what it will do to me. This is the same type of thing. And Alex Cora, not only did Alex Cora just do it with this non-two-man show in Houston, he took it to Boston. And he did it all over again in Boston, and took away two championships.
They were gonna beat the Dodgers anyway.
I mean, probably, but doesn't matter. The fact of
the Astros won, I'll give you all day, every day. The Astros won the 2017 World Series. Is a 7-game series. I mean, that one game against Clayton Kershaw, where he threw 54 breaking balls or whatever, and they didn't swing at one of them. Like, come on. You know what I'm saying? Like, that one, that one I'll give you. The Red Sox, you lost in 5. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't really that competitive.
I mean, I'm not going to go back into time. There was games that they absolutely could have won, and, you know, it never, who knows what would have happened. But it doesn't matter. Yes,
the Astros won clearly way more competitive.
Yes, clearly. And that game, the 13-12 game in Game 5 is the biggest example of all of that because it was in Houston, and they obviously were cheating. And the whole
thing. Oh, you're angry again.
Yeah, no.
You stopped yourself. You stopped yourself. Oh, my God.
I'm going to start cursing.
Wow.
Because look, as a Dodger, you're not a full-on Dodger fan.
They're like my National League team. Yes, I like them. I like them. I like them a lot. Yes.
Right, I know.
I don't love them. I like them a lot.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Laura and I are in love with the Dodgers.
Yes, so, I get it.
So when this happens.
Which, by the way.
It's a very visceral feeling.
But here's the thing. I get it. I grew up a Yankee fan, and the Astros beat the Yankees in 7 games before getting to the Dodgers.
Well, that game was – Aroldis Chapman was the one that gave up the home run and where Altuve was covering
and
up
his
jersey.
And he smiled because he knew what happened.
Right, and Altuve was covering up his jersey like, no, don't pull off my jersey because he had a freaking buzzer.
Right, because Aroldis Chapman, do you remember when he gave up the home run? He just looked at him and smiled like he knew what was happening.
And he got killed for that, too, because what are you doing smiling, giving up a two-run home run to lose the
of course,
World Series?
Because that's what sports fans do. How dare you smile? Why can't you be angry?
Right, but that happened to the Yankees, too. The 2017 Astros are the biggest villains in all of sports right now. There's no worse team than the Astros, and they will be hated forever by everybody outside of the city of Houston.
All right, let's go to Jorge in Cerritos. What's up, George? Jorge, I don't know which one you go by, but we'll go with either one.
George.
Yes, sir,
morning.
George. Good morning.
So, the two things. You mentioned what movie that you would not be the same without the cuss words. I think the clear winner on that is Scarface. You cannot.
Oh, man.
The feel, vibe, without all the cussing. You need it. You live for it.
Nailed
when you hear it,
yep.
You feel like you're right there. And if they had to sanitize all of that in the movie, it would not be the same. You would lose the whole.
You're 100% right. You're 100% right. Nobody runs Scarface on like regular cable, do they? Like, I've never seen that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they do. But you're 100% right. That movie, there's way too much. Context with all the cursing, and there's just way too much cursing to just get rid of it. Yes.
Right. And then the other thing I want to mention regarding, can you move on from the World Series about the Dodgers? Absolutely not. If you've been a, fan and you went to the game and you have to NP your savings account to attend the game, you're basically missing out. If you feel like you had a missed opportunity and you just feel like you got robbed. You paid all that hard-earned money. You had to not even tell your wife you were going to go sneak out with your friends to the game. And then what for? This is what happened. So, no, I don't think you can really move on from it. It's something that you can never forget. And not only can you not forget, but you really don't want to forget it, because when you forget about it, these things happen again. So as long as we continue to remember these things, it'll serve as a deterrent for the future. And that's my thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you, George. Appreciate it. Laura, you wanted to chime in here a second?
He just said he lied to his wife and went with his buddies. I'm like, bro. Typical
Hopefully
guy.
Your wife doesn't listen. Yes. I mean, did he lie? I don't know. I mean, I don't think he lied. But Beto, by the way, tweets in. Beto Duran, our friend, says, add Sedano, angry Greg Bergman will be mad forever. Is that
yes.
Accurate?
Yes, it is very accurate. And Beto should be, too. He was at some of those games, so he absolutely should be upset about this as well.
Starfish and Coffee tweets us that these are the Dodger fans' hated team rankings. Are you ready for it, Bergman?
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Before I get back to the calls here. Number one, Giants, clearly.
Of course.
Number two, Astros. Now, number two, Astros, behind the Giants. Yes?
I think so. I think so. Yeah, I think they've jumped.
Wow. Okay. Number three, Yankees.
Of course.
Number four, Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Cardinals for sure. Yeah.
They've actually dropped a little bit, but yes, they're right there.
I would say Cardinals over Yankees. No? I mean, when was the last time you actually played the Yankees in a meaningful moment? You know what I'm saying?
It's the history of the Yankees.
I get it.
They stopped them from winning
New York,
so many
LA.
Series.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. I get it. Cardinals, though, have caused you heartache, though. Like, I could see where that one would be, in there, but I would think it'd be a little higher.
Matt Adams is ingrained in my brain forever.
Yeah. Yeah. And number five, the Mets.
No.
I would think the Cubs for me, but.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really care about the Cubs either. I don't know. I mean, the Diamondbacks. But they have not because they
I would
won
say
anything.
Someone in the division, right?
Yeah, like, the Diamondbacks. Yeah. I mean, it's not the Padres. It's not the Rockies.
You love dismissing San Diego teams. You love it.
Who doesn't?
Right? Thank you, Laura.
You love dismissing San Diego teams.
They're not real teams.
Yes, they're not real teams. No, they're fake teams. Jaime in Santa Ana. Jaime.
Yeah, how you doing, Sedano? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to comment on a couple of things you guys are talking about. The movies, I think Harlem Nights is probably the one I'm thinking about without cuss words.
That's a good one.
Bad movie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But
I'm with you.
Back to the Dodger thing, I'm never letting that go. And I'm just glad he said something, because everybody knows that the whole team was involved.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. And if you're wondering, and thanks for the call, Jaime, be safe and stay safe. If you're wondering why we're talking about this, Alex Cora did a sit-down interview with Marley Rivera here at ESPN and said, he just basically talked about how, look, man, this notion that it was me and one other guy is nonsense, like everybody was doing this. By the way, we did not get to the MLB proposal. I will tell you what the latest is on that. We'll take more of your calls on the movie that is the worst to watch without cursing, and if you're over the Astros thing. We'll get to the baseball details. Plus, all of a sudden, Colin Kaepernick could be back in the NFL. We'll talk about that. Stick around. Sedano, we're back in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests will appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Ramona Shelburne in 15 minutes. Stick around for that. She'll give us the latest on the NBA, which all of a sudden could be in flux. Are you missing baseball? We've been talking about it. Tune in Sunday night for an MLB Classic, Game 7 of the 2014 World Series between the Giants and the Royals. Sorry, Dodger fan. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 5 Pacific on ESPN Radio, right here on 710 ESPN and the ESPN app. So, and of course, this is also brought to us by our friends at Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils, made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection, and the proof is in the Pennzoil. So, here's the deal. Carl Ravitch is reporting this. Our boy Ravi, man, he's reporting a lot of things, Bergman. He's getting the scoops on all this stuff all of a sudden.
All of a sudden, he's a major newsbreaker. It's great.
Yeah, I think we should just reach out to Ravi and just bring him on the show next week. So
he'll have all the info.
Yeah, the problem with him is the KBO games. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know when he's even awake. You know what I mean? Like, I feel terrible because those games are in the, you know, early in the morning or the middle of the night, you know, and it's just like, it's not easy. But
yeah, we had Boog on. He does all those games, but it was before.
Yeah, but we had him on before. Right. I always feel bad, okay, like asking for guests that I know have a lot of things going on. Like, I'm just bad at that stuff. Like, it just, there's a lot of football guys I'd love to have on, but I know like NFL Live is on when we're on sometimes, or they're taping stuff. And it's just like, do I ask him to do one more thing than the 47 things they're already doing? And in this case, that would be the case. By the way, I just want to let people know, if you're listening, we want to let you know as listeners how much we appreciate you guys. We know that the times are weird and strange, and you know, little by little people are getting back to some slices of normalcy, but we just want to thank you guys for being as loyal as you are to us here on the show and the station in general. And just again, like you know, the ratings come out every month, and little by little we're seeing more and more people are coming back to radio, period, right? And more and more people are coming back to listening to the station, and we just want to thank you for coming back, right? Because it doesn't mean you have to just because you may be back on the road more or whatnot. And, you know, want to let you know that at least on this show, and every show, obviously, on the station, but on this show, that whether it's myself or Greg or Laura, we bust our ass for you each and every day to put out the best, most fun show to kind of incorporate everything that needs to be discussed while having some fun at the same time and being serious when necessary. And it doesn't mean we're all going to agree on everything, but we're just thankful that you guys are coming back little by little and very happy to do our best for you each and every day, and just let you know that we do try our best each and every day to do that, you know, and just create our fun family atmosphere here that we do on the station each and every day. So thank you guys, because without you, you know, we're nothing. So thank you each and every day for coming back, and thank you for coming back more and more. And come back every day. Stick around a little longer if you can, too. All right, so speaking of sticking around a little longer, baseball is just trying to get back, you know? And here's what Ravitch is reporting, Bergman. Major League Baseball owners are expected to send a new proposal to the Players Union on Friday, today, that includes a season that lasts between 70 and 75 games, sources told ESPN's Carl Ravitch. The owner's proposal would include a payment of somewhere between 80 to 85% of the player's prorated salary. That's up from 75%. And less games in that scenario, because the owners were talking about 89 games at 75%. So now we're at 70 games at 80 or 85%. So they're getting a little closer now, which is a slight increase from the owner's last effort. The proposal also includes expanded playoffs and a share of the playoff pool for players. This marks the third exchange between the owners and proposal and the owners and players as far as a proposal is concerned this particular week. So finally, we're getting real traction, because it would be like one proposal, and then we wouldn't hear back for like 4 or 5 days, and then there would be another proposal, and then we wouldn't hear for another 4 or 5 days. We've actually had three exchanges in a week, which is nice.
Yeah, it is. I just wonder. So I don't have the numbers exact in my brain right now, but 89 games at 75%, 76 games at 85%, 80 to 85%. Isn't that going to just kind of work out to basically the same amount of numbers that it's been the entire time?
No, it's. I've been telling you, each time the owners go up a couple of percentage points. So this one is probably like, I don't know, like high 30%, whereas before it was in the low 30%, at least initially.
Yeah, so, it doesn't seem like it moved that much, though.
Well, overall, it's moved about 8-9%, somewhere there, like 7-8%, which isn't a lot, but it's more than nothing, you know? So I think eventually what it'll end up being is that it's going to be the players will play ultimately about 75 games, which is, I don't know, about 40% of their games, and probably get about 37 or 38% of their salary. So they'll be giving up 2%.
Okay, yeah, so 75 games. All right, I think I can live with 75 games. I just want to know, why do the owners want less games so badly?
They want less games because they want to finish the season before a potential second wave.
Sure, but baseball is one of those sports that, you know,
and the winter. They don't want to play into the winter. They don't want to play into the cold.
Of course. Right? You want to go. You don't want to go into November. No, they never want to go.
Yeah, it's already
into
June 11th or whatever it is, or June 12th. Right. Like, you got to get this going soon.
Totally get it. But players, especially in baseball, sometimes they don't mind playing doubleheaders. They do it all the time. So if they are playing multiple doubleheaders, I think they would be just fine doing that. Getting more games in, I feel like, is still just a better situation for the players and the sport itself.
Right, but
being
now you've
TV
gotten to
all day.
Yeah, but now you've gotten to a point where you're running out of time to play, you know, that many games. Like, you can't play more than 75 or 80 games at this point. Like, that's pretty much it.
No, probably not. And like, that's fine. I just don't understand why the owners have been pushing so hard on less games the entire time.
Well, it's just, you know, it's basically a money thing. That's all it is. It's just about money and timelines. That's all it is.
That's what we love hearing, right? Yeah, no, I get it. But it's money. This is what we're going to argue over. This is what we're going to be about. It's always about money with that.
Of course. Just, like, you haven't figured that out after all these months?
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
We want the games back.
Yeah. Junior's in Santa Barbara wants to give us his movie that's really bad without cursing. Junior, go ahead.
What's up, George?
Hey, bud.
Greg and Laura. The movie that's not the same, man, it's Superbad.
Oh, Superbad is actually pretty terrible without cursing. You're right. That is a good one. Any real, like, serious comedy, fun comedy is going to be there. Laura, you had one too, right?
I did. It was Wolf on Wall Street.
You know, it's funny. I came across that one the other day on some regular cable network, like FX or something like that, and I watched it for 10 minutes, and it was terrible. Yeah, it was pretty bad. It's kind of like in that Scarface genre where there's just too many impactful moments where they're cursing that you completely miss out on if you watch it without the curse words.
Yeah, there's a good one here that I got on Twitter from Sean O'Rourke. He's saying that Pineapple Express has been on TV, and they have completely edited it down, where Craig Robinson's character is always cursing in the film, and TV edited to change it to ridiculous other things. That would be a really
that's another one. Keep them coming. 877-710-ESPN. So Momo's going to stop by in a second. Uh-oh. There's not a good report coming out about the NBA. 200 players on a conference call being led by Kyrie Irving. Never a good sign. We'll get to those details. Stick around. We're back in 4 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. That's funny. All guests presented by the Shell Benzol Performance Line. I couldn't even read straight because of Sir Mix-a-Lot. That's Ramona's theme song from now on. That's it. Anytime she comes on the show, it is going to be Sir Mix-a-Lot. Momo!
You going to get me to start rapping again?
I love it. We should have had you. Yeah, we should have had you do a little karaoke while we were coming on.
Oh, God. That's so embarrassing that I know all the words for that, but
it's all good. Hey,
what's
so
up,
I wanted to talk to you because obviously there's a lot of stuff out there now, and normally we wouldn't bother you a second time in a week, but there's a lot of stuff out there regarding the NBA. So let me just address one thing first and kind of get your thoughts on it. So there was some stories today. Tom Haberstroh had a story for NBC Sports. Yep. And I know that Keith Smith at Yahoo had some stories, and Chris Haynes had stories about different reasons for players. And obviously Woj, right, had stories, as we talked about here the last couple of days, right? Different factions of players having different reasons for concern about the NBA's campus bubble environment. Let's tackle the Haberstroh part of this first, okay? Where he spoke to two epidemiologists. I think that's how you say that word.
Epidemiologist,
thank you. Yes. Yep. And they said that this notion that the Disney cast members, that the folks who will work at Walt Disney World during this time, that the fact that they will not be subjected to the testing protocols and will not be subjected to the quarantine is a little concerning, but he does. Yep. They do feel that the temperature checks and things like that could be enough, right? But not as secure as having everyone inside the bubble. Now, Haberstroh's article did say clearly, as of now, that's not the case, which is, I think, key words, because the way I look at all of this, and it's why I'm trying to de-escalate some of this, because now everyone's an alarmist about this part of it, is that clearly, if you're the NBA, you have to prioritize your negotiations. Number one, you have to prioritize negotiating with the owners, number two, then the players and the Players Association, and then number three, the venue. So what do you make of my thoughts on the way it's been prioritized? Because it makes it, I believe that those details may get worked out and will likely get worked out before we get there, because we still have about a month. But what do you make of that aspect of it right now?
So I think it is interesting. I've heard that from players too, of like, you know, why do we have to all have such a strict quarantine if like the workers maybe aren't? Now, I'll give you the answer I've heard and why I still think it's safe. Like the more I hear about it, the more I'm like, yeah, you know, there is going to be extremely limited contact between any worker and NBA players. Like they're not, I think I reported this a couple weeks ago. I can't remember when I posted this, but it was, you know, when we were really first talking about Orlando, right? They're not going to go into players' room. Like there may be a time when they do go in once every week or two or something like that, but you're not supposed to be in the rooms. You're not supposed to be interacting. There's not going to be like face-to-face interaction. And even if they're, you know, which again, really limits exposure. And the workers, while they can go home to their families at night, every single day they're going to be temperature checked, and there is some level of testing that they're doing. It's not quite as much as the players. It's not like every single day, but there's temperature checks all the time, and there is testing. I don't know how often it is. It's like every couple of days, every 3 days. So it's still a fair amount, and there's extremely limited contact anyway. And the ones that the workers who do have a little could be come in personal contact with them, it sounds like they're going to be tested also. So is it 100,000% safe? No, nothing is unless you just stay home. But have they done a lot to mitigate that? I mean, to me, it's the same level of risk as if you were going to do takeout, you know, at a restaurant. Okay, there's a 5-second interaction maybe when you pick the food. But other than that, if you're wearing a mask and they're wearing a mask and they've been temperature checked and all that, it's still about as good as you can get.
Okay, well, that makes me feel a lot better. And you're right. I think that stuff will probably be explained to players or the Players Association if it hasn't already, right?
I think so. But I think it's a combination, George, of 11th hour kind of stuff. Like, players they've heard it, but then when you really think about it, when you really go, wait, how long is it going to be? Like 6-7 weeks of just me and my teammates in the bubble, no family, no kids, no wives, no girlfriends, no friends, no whatever. Like that gets to be a lot. And then you really look down at how long it is. And I've heard the phrase like, you know, why does it have to be this long? Like now you start to reevaluate, well, could we have our families there earlier if we didn't have the 22 teams, if we had 16? Like, I think people had been tossing this around and thinking about this for a while, but they didn't, it wasn't reality. It was more conceptual and theoretical. And now that we're right here, that's when reality's hitting them. But I'm telling you, George, like I would be shocked if this doesn't pass, if there's some kind of huge change. Like I think there's a momentum towards a deal, and you know, one person I talked to yesterday, just a player agent, has a lot of players who are wrestling with all of this, actually said, look, nobody wants to be the guy that puts the brakes on all of this. Everybody wants to play. There's no plan that's going to make everybody 100% happy, so you're just hearing the last right, the last this, the last that. But nobody wants to be the guy that stands in the way of the NBA coming back when we're so close.
Ramona Shelburne hanging out with us here. Howard Beck did report this, that he's told that there's going to be a conference call of up to 200 players today, and that he's hearing that Kyrie Irving has been a driving force in organizing these calls and raising concerns over the NBA, NBA's bubble plan. So do you believe, like, look, I think it's interesting because you know, it makes it seem like the star players, or at least some star players, are trying to push this through. whereas the rank and file may not be on the same page. And Kyrie, who's not even going to play in this.
Oh, wait, he's not even going to go to the bubble because he's not playing.
Right.
So, okay.
is raising these concerns and kind of, creating this awareness. I know you said you'd be surprised if this thing doesn't go through. Yeah. But do you believe that Kyrie has that kind of weight, I guess, to maybe sway guys, I guess is the question.
I've heard Kyrie's name out there too, as somebody who's pushing the, hey, let's really think about this. And quite frankly, George, I don't know how you feel about things, but I think you should always go back and look at things over and over and over again, right? Like you're making a really big decision for 350 players and just as many staff for all of these people. This is a health and safety issue. And so I think it's good that they're all going back and they're all, really digging in and feeling what this would be like, what things feel right. Because it's whatever protocol comes out, and I've been expecting this health and safety document for a couple of days now. So I don't know if they're just working on it or if it's going through legal, if it's, why it's taking longer than we were expecting. But this is a living, breathing document, right? Like this is what the medical community, everybody who's consulted on this, everything that's been collectively bargained with the union, executive committee, there's a joint task force that's been doing this. And that's the one with got Russell Westbrook on it, Jason Tatum, Chris Paul, Kyle Lowry, right? There's a whole joint task force that's been bargaining this the entire time. And I think there's been a level of engagement with the people, with the players in the union who have executive leadership positions in the union. But I don't know how engaged other players had been in the details until the last week or two. I think they've been kind of sitting back. They did the Zoom calls and then they've just been talking amongst themselves and their agents. And there's a lot of other considerations, but we have such momentum towards a deal. I could see tweaks to this. I could see 11th hour negotiating on back and forth, but I don't see it falling apart. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. Do you believe that those tweaks could include even more stringent testing protocols for the Disney employees?
Could be.
Yeah. And you may not know the answer. Yeah. Right. You may not know the answer to that. So that,
Because that is a point. Like when you bring up that, okay, well, why do the players have to have no family when if other people can go home to their families, or not even just Disney employees. There's, in the media, there's tier one, tier two. So tier one, you're in the bubble with them. You can't go anywhere. Tier two, you can't interact with anybody, but you could sit in the stands there and you could like go stay at the Orlando Marriott. I mean, we were having fun with that the other day, like I can go to, if I'm in tier two, I can still go to Chili's, right? I can still hang out and do, be on the road. But if you're tier one and you're in the bubble, you can do less. And neither of them is all that great of access. So if I'm the players, maybe I'm upset about that too. Like, hey, nobody should be able to be there at all. Theoretically, there's no interaction between people in tier two and the people in tier one in the bubble. Like you're not gonna, if you're in the stands, if you're a tier two person, you're not allowed to like come within however many feet it's going to be of anyone who's in the bubble. I think the same is going to apply to any employee, but those are things I think could be negotiated or points of contention if people are not feeling safe. But I think it's far more should you focus on keeping people out of the bubble or getting people in? There's a little give and take with that could probably happen too.
Yeah, I just think that there's so many potential scenarios here, right, where things could go wrong. And I get it. Like, I get that. Like, if safety is your concern, I get it.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to dismiss guys who maybe aren't up to speed with this because they have a contract coming up, right? And it's such a weird scenario, right? Like, I get those concerns too, but I get them way less than a safety concern. Safety protocol should be the most important thing. But my response to this last second 11th hour stuff is, where the hell have you been all this time? What did you think? This was going to be a trip to Cabo,
I know. I mean,
look, you know, you and I are very engaged in stuff all day long. You know, this is what we do. It's our job. You would think that if, like, your health, if you're going into the bubble, aren't you going to be, like, very aware of every single thing that's happening, George? Like, you're going to really make your peace with every little detail of it. I think that players just kind of took a general view of it, and there was some level of engagement, but when you get down into the details, you feel what it's going to, when you really process what it's going to feel like, and people start to raise questions. So your agents are raising questions. Other players are raising questions. You know, Kyrie Irving has the stature to maybe get a bunch of people on a call. You have one call that leads to three more calls, right? So there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on, but I guess for me, I think that if you're the NBA and you're the players' union, you need to take a posture on that that says, I welcome that. I want to be challenged. You want all this stuff to be challenged, and you need to be able to defend it because you are dealing with people's lives and their safety, and so they need to feel good about it. And, you know, even though there's a lot of momentum towards a deal, like, you have to be willing to say, okay, let's just take a few more days and make sure everybody's good. And if they're not, we want to hear why and what can we do. And see if maybe there is salt. Maybe there is a few other modifications that can be made. So I don't think you can take a posture like, hey, we already voted, guys. Move this along. Like, I don't think that you do that with an issue as important as this.
No, I agree 100%. And Ramona Shelburne joining us here. My position to that would be this, though, is, I would assume, Ramona, that Adam Silver has gained enough equity with this group of players that they would trust that he's going to do what's in everyone's best interest in regards to all aspects of this, you know, and that's the surprising part to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's how we got so far so fast in the first place. Right. So it's Adam Silver, it's Chris Paul, it's Bob Iger, Michelle Roberts, like that group of four people really had great personal relationships. They had great processes in terms of, managing the people involved in this. So, you know, Adam Silver has a good enough rapport with owners that he was able to get them all in line on one plan, even though there were several teams that either didn't like it or, would prefer other plans. But he wrangled support, right? It's like getting a bill passed through Congress. You don't need everybody. You just need a majority. So I think, you need to find consensus, quote unquote consensus. That doesn't mean everybody agrees. Consensus just means everybody goes along with it, okay? So, you know, I really think that's where we are. I think that we had a consensus. It's now being challenged. It's going back to committee in a way, but it doesn't mean it's being undone. It just means people are taking another look at it, and we have a living, breathing document that is going to continue to live and breathe and change between now and July 31st or July 30th.
Well, and to that point, what I would say, even beyond this, Ramona, is it fair to say that there's a possibility that once guys get in the bubble campus environment, that, you know, after a couple of weeks and, you know, they see how things go, that there could be even more loosening within that environment?
Of course. Absolutely. And we don't know what the science is going to say, too, right? You know, we don't know what kind of therapeutics happen. You know, maybe there's going to be some treatment for this that's in the next month or two, who knows, like that is found to be more effective, or could be the opposite. Maybe the cases in and around Orlando, Florida continue to rise and spike to where nobody feels comfortable going at all. Right. I mean, I don't know. I think to me, George, like this is 11th hour stuff, but it's going to feel like this all the way until we actually come back, because there's a couple of hurdles that everybody has to clear that are going to be tough. When June 15th, next week, that's the day foreign players are supposed to be back, and they're supposed to have to quarantine. And then June 21st is when everybody else is supposed to be back. And then that's when we're going to really start doing testing. And, you know, if you and I, we read the stats, we know just looking at the stats, okay, probably somewhere between 2-5% of players will test positive, just based on, you know, the prevalence of COVID-19 in our community, in the world. Okay, probably 2-5%. Okay, it's 350 players. It's not that many people, but that's going to be another little hiccup once we find out how many players actually, you know, have it, an active infection. There's probably going to be antibody testing. We'll find out how many players had it. Now you have health screenings for staff and coaches, and then that's going to go to medical boards. You're going to see some thorniness there. If people come down, find out they have either find out they have underlying conditions, or medical personnel say, hey, you have these conditions, and I know you want to go, but we don't think it's good. You're going to have a lot of. I think there's just a lot of hurdles to clear between now and July 30th, and then there'll be even more when we get there and we start playing. But that's why it's important to always have a line of communication and debate, so where people can say, hey, wait, what about this? Let me ask another question. Like, if you don't have that and you start encountering bumps along the way, if like you're not going to get very far, because it's going to fall apart every single time. I don't see it falling apart. I mean, I could be wrong, George. The folks I talk to think that this is just, no, people asking questions. And,
yeah.
And maybe a few things change a little, but we're going forward.
Yeah, but it feels like to me that, you know, whether it's safety or not, that it seems like, and maybe I'm just reading tea leaves improperly, that players are just more bothered by not being able to leave the bubble because the employees at Disney are able to leave the bubble. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that.
And not just employees, and the media in tier two. Like, it's like, how come they're high, you know, they're subjected to tougher standards than, you know, other people, right? And I get that. I get that complaint. You know, the answer is, well, that's kind of the point of the bubble. Like, the people who are coming and going are actually not interacting with you.
Right.
Like, you have to think of the Disney workers as more like tier two. Like, they're not coming face to face with you. As far as I know, okay, I don't know exactly every safety protocol, but that's my understanding. That's kind of like a tier two media person. But, you know, it's never going to be 100,000% safe because, you know, you're not just staying home and not interacting with anybody. But what I will say is that it is probably, and a lot of people, a lot of teams, agents, team players, league officials, union officials, one of the prevailing things that I've heard is, you know, that bubble is probably going to be one of the safest places you can be. Like, they really feel that the bubble is safer than just whatever guys are doing now, especially as states reopen. I mean, you know, gyms are more reopened. People are having gatherings of, you know, 10, 15 people at their houses, like going to restaurants, going out. Like, that's probably more risky than being in that bubble. Like, this is a safer environment for all of that than being out in the normal world, going about your life, especially as we've reopened.
Ramona Shelburne, ESPN NBA insider, friend of the program. Mama Momo, thank you for doing a little extra for us this week. We appreciate it, as always.
Of course. You play my songs, you know. Oh, come on. Give me hype.
There you go. Thanks, Momo. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Georgie.
See ya. You're listening to KSBN Los Angeles. That was Ramona Shelburne.